Well, many of you seem to remember Peter Russell. He has done such a wonderful job of helping us to reinterpret and give a new worldview that incorporates so much of modern thinking and evolutionary theory and appreciation of our universe into our images and our understanding of what shapes our spirituality. Today he comes again to share, and we're glad we were able to co-sponsor him in his presentations on Friday night and Saturday with the Continuum Center. And he's going to talk today focusing on our freedom. And I think that we will all appreciate his message. Let's welcome from England by way of California, Peter Russell.
Thank you all. Lovely to be back here. I'm just struck again by how privileged you all are to have a church facility, people like this here. It's a wonderful privilege. So let that gratitude be in your heart. As George said, I want to talk about freedom today. We hear a lot about freedom, particularly in current times, the defense of freedom, and the loss of personal freedoms in the defense of freedom. This country is a country that was founded on notions of freedom, freedom from political oppression, freedom to worship as you pleased. It's often called the land of the free. We have freedom today, incredible freedoms, freedom to travel, live where we want, with who we want. Freedom from prejudice. To some extent, there's still quite a bit of prejudice around, but we're gaining increasing freedom from prejudice. We have so many external freedoms. It's often we just take for granted. What I would look at today, though, is another aspect of it, inner freedom, spiritual freedom. Are we really free inside? Or are we caught up in thinking, feelings that actually don't help us at all? The liberation of the inner world that is, I think, the goal of so many spiritual traditions. It's often talked about as self-liberation, personal liberation, the freedom of the soul. The Buddha said, just as all oceans taste of salt, so all spiritual paths lead to freedom. I think there's a way in which we in our culture are very caught and very trapped in our thinking. And that is we've got caught in a belief system, a mindset that's really sort of hypnotized into us from the moment we're born. And that belief system says, if you're not happy, if you're not at peace, there's something wrong with your environment, something wrong with your circumstances. You need to do something about it. And so our culture would have us continually go and do something else, buy something else, find some other opportunity, to use our freedoms in the hope that if only we just got enough of the right things, we'd finally find peace. And what we're discovering is, doesn't work like that. There's a wonderful study I love, which was done back in 1957, and then repeated 35 years later in 92, where they went around asking how many people were happy with what they had in life. And back in 1957, 30% of the US population said they were happy with their lot in life. 92, 35 years later, during those 35 years, incredible material growth, the so-called quality of life had increased, many more freedoms, number of square feet per household had doubled, the number of cars per household had doubled, you could buy all number of foods in supermarkets that weren't available before, TV channels had expanded from half a dozen to 50, from black and white to color. How many people were happy with what they had in life? Exactly the same. 30%. Nothing had changed on the inside. And this is, I think, what we're about, is how do we actually free ourselves up from this belief that if only we had the right things, we'd be at peace. Our whole society is in conspiracy against us recognizing that this is wrong. And if you think about it, just about every advertisement, or sorry, I can't say it the American way, but you know what I mean. Advertisements, but I have to say advertisement, I'm sorry, it's what comes out of my tongue. Every advertisement is really telling you in one way or another, first of all, it's saying, buy this product, buy this thing, and you will be happy. Whatever it is, this service, this bit of software, you'll be at peace. They know what we really want, but they delude us in telling us how to get it. One of my favorite examples is outside London. As you drive into London from the airport back into London, there's one of those off-airport rental car companies, and it has a big board up outside that says, rent from us and be assured peace of mind. I like to think, if only it were that simple. What advertising does, it actually, when you think about it, it very subtly wants to make you feel miserable. It wants you to feel that things aren't quite okay because there's something you don't have. And because you don't have it, you should be dissatisfied. So it's subtly asking us to be dissatisfied. This struck me earlier this year, the beginning of the year, when Apple produced the new iMac. Some of you may remember the new iMac with its nice floating screen, little semicircular thing, novel design. My assistant, who has got an iMac and was until then perfectly happy with her iMac, saw Steve Jobs release the new iMac and burst into tears. She wanted one. So Steve had done a wonderful job in getting millions of people to feel a little bit more miserable because there's something now they didn't have. And that's why we feel happy when we get something. It's not because the thing itself makes us any happier, but because we made ourselves unhappy because we didn't have it, and now we're temporarily happy again because we've got it. And the effect lasts for a short while, a few days, and then we're unhappy because there's something else we are told we haven't got and we'd be happy if we have. So there's a strange thing that's happened here. Because if you look at most spiritual teachings, they tell us that the reason why we're unhappy is because, as Buddha said, we crave things, we want things to be different. It's because of our attachment to certain things, our desiring. And most teachings tell us we need to transcend our desires, to go beyond our desires. Yet our culture is telling us the opposite. It's saying, no, fulfill your desires. The more desires, the better. The more you can fulfill, the more we will keep this consumer society going. So we've got this strange reversal here. And it's like, if you think, what are our freedoms for? Our freedoms seem to be just to fulfill more and more material desires. But this belief that if only we had the right things, we'd be at peace, doesn't just keep us locked into a sort of an addictive process of consuming and wanting. It also keeps our minds trapped. And one of the things it does, it keeps us in a state of, a sort of background state of fear and worry, anxiety. Because what happens is, if you believe that if only I got whatever it is, the right thing, the right relationship, the right home, the right raise, job, whatever it is, you're thinking into the future the whole time. You're not experiencing the present moment. You're thinking, what if this were to happen in 5 minutes' time? What if this is happening in my work? What's going to happen to the baseball game? What's going to happen to the stock market? And all of this produces little background state of tension, anxiety. And I'm sure some of you may have noticed this when you quieten the mind, go into a state of meditation, when you go on a retreat, you probably notice there's this background state of tension there. We don't notice it in the ordinary day-to-day life. We're so busy with our doing and our thinking, getting on with things. We don't notice this background state of tension there. It's actually stopping us really being free and at ease in ourselves. To me, freedom is the freedom to just be at ease and be at peace, to be in the present moment. But because of all this fear, the worry that goes on, our minds are thinking, worrying. If I look at myself, I could probably do without 90% of my thinking. Probably 95% if I was honest. I mean, thinking is a great blessing. It is what has made us what we are. It's given us ability to understand the world, to make choices, to plan. Science has come from that, philosophy, even religion. So much has come from our ability to think, comprehend. And yet, I waste so much time and energy on completely unnecessary thinking. In fact, one of my little meditations is when I'm driving down the road, when I don't need to be thinking, is just to stop that, just switch it off. It keeps coming back again if I keep on switching it off. And just realizing there's so much to be experienced as you're driving, instead of what I normally do is driving down the road and my head is somewhere completely different, thinking. It not only traps us in the future, we also get trapped in the past. So much of our judgments, grievances come from the fact we get caught up in this worry. Did I do the right thing? Did somebody else treat me badly? This struck me a while back. I was visiting a friend. I was just in her kitchen and another friend dropped by. And he came in and he was complaining about something that had happened 6 months before. And how he could not forgive this person for what they'd done. I don't know what it was they'd done, but he just could not forgive this person for something that had happened 6 months before. He was still feeling hurt and angry and upset. And her response was, I'm sorry for you. Because the person who's actually suffering is you. You're the one who's holding the grudge. The other person who knows what they're feeling, but by holding that grudge, we keep ourselves limited, we hold ourselves back. I think the real freedom we all have, which often we don't recognize, the real freedom we all have is the freedom to choose how we see things. The freedom to choose to see things differently. And I'm reminded of a line from A Course in Miracles, which some of you know. We are not robots, we are free. We are free to see things differently. An example of that I often use when I'm working in corporations is what happens when you get stuck inside a traffic jam. Most people feel upset, stressed, and usually blame it on the traffic jam. Traffic jam isn't actually making you upset. It doesn't have the power to inject adrenaline into your bloodstream. If that's happening, it's because the voice in your head is saying, this isn't a good situation. It's thinking about the future again. It's out of the present. It's looking at what's going to happen if you're late, home or late for the appointment, the bad things that might happen to you. That's what's making you upset. Somebody else sitting in exactly the same situation could be saying to themselves, this is wonderful. They're in the present moment. They're saying, this is the sort of situation I've been wishing for all day long. I've got no computers telling me I've got mail. I've got no boring meetings to sit through, nobody coming in asking me to solve their problems. I can sit back, relax, put on some music. If it's a real solid traffic jam, I can even meditate for 5 minutes. So you've got one person heading one step closer to a heart attack, another person one step closer to enlightenment. And the difference is nothing at all to do with what's going out there. The difference is purely what's going on inside the head, what we tell ourselves. And that's where we have a choice. I think that's where real freedom lies, the freedom to look at things differently, the freedom to see things differently. And I think that's what all our material freedoms are for. It's not just to chase after more and more things or opportunities or whatever it is. Really, what we have today in our culture is the freedom to step back. We're not tied to the soil, tied to the factory. We can step back and really begin to discover how can we free ourselves inside? How can we find true inner freedom? So what I'd like to leave you with today is the spiritual exercise of standing in line. It's a spiritual exercise you can avail yourself of probably most days in your life. Happens in supermarkets, airline check-ins. You know the situation. You're standing there. And the first thing is, I've chosen the wrong line. And then, stupid me, I should have realized that this was going to be too slow. I should have, you know, start beating yourself up. And then you start thinking about the person in front who hasn't got the right change or whatever it was, or the person at the desk, the checkout, who's got something wrong or being slow. What's happening? You have, your mind is full now of complaining, whether it's about yourself or other people. You're off again on some negative thought. You're trapped again in some conditioning. The spiritual practice of standing in line is to realize that for the next minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, you are required to do nothing but very occasionally shuffle forward a foot or two. That's all that's being asked of you, nothing else, no other demands. You're just asked to stand there and occasionally shuffle forward. And then just watch yourself, catch yourself, catch what the mind is doing. And just take that moment to say, no thanks. I don't need to be sitting here complaining about other people or beating myself up or whatever, or saying I should have got here sooner, whatever it is. Here is a wonderful opportunity. No one's going to make any demands of you. A wonderful opportunity to just be in the present for a few moments. To be with what is happening around you, noticing the people, how they are, what they're saying, what's going on with them, what's going on in your environment, and what's going on inside yourself. How's your body feeling? How are you? Are you tense? Can you relax? Can you feel more at ease? Wonderful opportunities we have, probably many times each day, to just stop and be in the present. And that, to me, is where the real freedom lies. Being in the present rather than caught up in all the thinking and the doing and the worrying. So I just leave you with that line again from A Course in Miracles. We are not robots, we are free to see things differently. Thank you.